In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. My Lord and my God, I firmly believe that you are here, that you see me, that you hear me. I adore you with profound reverence. I ask your pardon for my sins and the grace to make this time of prayer fruitful. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me. In meditation or a time of prayer, we make the effort to have this conversation with our Lord, and we made an act of faith in his real presence here now in the tabernacle with us. And I invite you to make that act of faith again that, Jesus, I believe you are here. I believe that you see me, that you hear me, and that I would be able to come to know you more, to understand or to see more deeply the depth of your teaching and how I can apply it to my life so as to change, so as to be more a follower of yours, Lord, a truly, I would like to deserve the name Christian in my speech and in my behavior. And at times it may come to us, I'm not sure what to say, or I'm not sure this time of prayer, what is it that, what would be a topic, or I get distracted. And one resource, if I can put it that way, that we have, and maybe we don't take advantage of and appreciate is for its importance and also its impact is the scriptures. We may come to times of prayer, times of meditation, in order to again encounter our Lord and really make progress in the interior life, and it's great. But maybe we don't take advantage of a source that will help us to encounter our Lord, which it again, the scripture, especially the gospel, the New Testament, because our Lord said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. It's a very impacting claim. In me, you have everything. And the best place that we can encounter him is in the gospels. Especially there in which we consider, we know to be the inspired word of God, that is the Holy Spirit, is the author of scripture. When Pope Francis was there in Portugal, when World Youth Day this past summer, 4 months ago, more or less, and to the young people, he said, listen to Jesus. It was on the Feast of the Transfiguration, and the gospel is when our Lord is transfigured before the apostles, and those words of the Father, this is my beloved Son, listen to him. And Pope Francis told the young people in his homily, listen to him, listen to Jesus. That is life's secret. Listen to what Jesus is saying to you. But I don't know what he is saying to me. Well, take the Gospels and read there what Jesus is saying, what he is saying to your heart. For he has the words of eternal life for us. He reveals that God is our Father, that God is love. He shows us the way of love. And it's recorded there in the scripture, in the gospels. And we want to, our prayer is about what can help us to pray in this meditation. And we may ask ourselves, do I take up the gospel? And do I try to, as Saint Jose Maria would say, do I try to put myself into the scene? Do I make the effort to really meditate on the words of our Lord and on his actions, giving the Holy Spirit that room to work in my soul through a supernatural instrument, the Word of God. I was impressed when in a conference for priests, it was about preaching, and the one giving the conference spoke about preaching according to St. Augustine. And he was saying that St. Augustine would, or has written, that when you preach a homily, you're hoping to bring about a supernatural change in the person. That is, that there will be grace working in their soul, that your words will give room for the Holy Spirit to operate, which I hope happens now. But he said, in order to do that, you need a supernatural instrument. And I believe he said, you know, you need to pray and mortify yourself, you know, offer penances for the people you're going to preach to, for what they will hear. But he said, you also need a supernatural instrument. And your instrument in that regard, your supernatural tool to provoke that change is the scriptures, because they're inspired. The Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, of discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. This is what we would like to happen from the Hebrews, the letter to the Hebrews. You know, the Word of God is living and active. And I think it shows us that the Word of God is an instrument of his will. It is this supernatural instrument to get into our hearts and to pierce the soul and the spirit, to reveal to us the intentions of our heart, to bring us really face to face with our Lord Jesus Christ when we consider him in these moments. He who hears my words and acts upon them builds on a rock, a solid foundation. That's what our Lord said. He who hears my words and listens to them builds upon them. You're building on rock. The edifice of your spiritual life will be strong. And when the winds come and the rains and the storm, and it will not destroy the house. It will be able to stand up to your spiritual life. It will be able to stand up to the challenges that are brought about by, well, daily life, the things that happen to us, the trying to live as a Christian, again, worthy of the name, a follower of our Lord, really trying to make our life conform to what he teach, what he preached, and what he lived. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house upon the rock. And the rain fell, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on rock. These are words of our Lord. We take them to our prayer. What do they say to you now? What would the Holy Spirit stirs in your soul? And I would say, in part, for me anyway, listening to the words of our Lord and then trying to put them into practice, making this effort in meditation now, will give us that strength that we look for at times when life is difficult, when we don't understand everything that happens, that we grow in faith, or we become more aware of God's love for us even in the midst of a cross. Other passages of scripture, other events of our Lord's life may come to us. But he tells us that if we listen to his words, and this is the place in the scripture, we will have a solid foundation. But we need that time to try to put them into practice, of course. And that's why prayer, in order to see, where can I improve? What does this passage say to me? What is our Lord teaching? How can I challenge myself to be better? to acquire the virtue that our Lord may be speaking about, or to follow his teaching in a more faithful way. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house upon the sand. The rain fell, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. The word, the scripture, is inspired, especially the gospel. And the apostles, when things got difficult, when there was a particularly trying moment in the life of our Lord, and for them as well. It came when our Lord promised the Eucharist, discourse of St. John's Gospel in chapter 6. It comes just after the multiplication of the loaves, miraculous multiplication as recounted to us by John. Our Lord spends a night on the mountain praying. The disciples are trying to go across the lake as he asked them to do. Our Lord fled the people because they wanted to make him king after that miracle. And I always say, I don't think it was just that our Lord provoked a sharing of bread, a sharing of lunches in the multiplication of the loaves. You aren't moved to make someone king because they inspired people to be generous. I mean, there was a multiplication of the loaves. There was little food, and then there was a lot of food to feed people. And it's a miracle of foreshadowing the Eucharist. At least it seems to me. Some people would say they began to share. Again, you don't make a person king for that reason. But in any case, when our Lord speaks to the people, he begins a conversation about the manna in the desert, how God fed them and Moses, and I am the bread from heaven. And he begins to press the point to say, my body is food indeed, my blood is drink indeed. And many of the disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can listen to it? Who can accept these words? And it was difficult, and it was very hard, and it was not easy to accept what he was saying. Absolutely. It was asking for a moment of faith. But it's interesting how their hearts were hardened a bit in this challenge, in this particular moment. And who can listen to this? Who can hear this? Who can accept this? And many, when they heard it, said, this is a hard saying. And after this, St. John says a little further on, many of his disciples drew back and no longer went about with him. But here's the interesting part when Jesus turns to the 12. As they're watching other people go away, as they're seeing the crowds drift, as the seemingly the political, if you want to call it that, the kind of the political collateral of our Lord, the polls are going down big time. It was first they want to make him king the night before, and now they're drifting away. It's really quite a stark contrast. And so we're living this with the apostles. We're watching this happen. And they may be concerned, or they may be looking at one another and kind of, wow. Imagine our Lord's going to be a much more difficult circumstance. He's going to be pressed by the scribes and Pharisees. They will know that his life is being threatened. But here's a moment of apparently an apostolic failure. A preaching failure, because people are leaving. After this, many of his disciples drew back and no longer went about with him. Jesus said to the 12, do you also wish to go away? So he challenges them. It's an opportunity for them to make an act of faith in our Lord's teaching, on what we now know, the Eucharist, the real presence that you're with us here, Lord. Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. And that, verbum vitae eternae abes. Verbum vitae eternae abes. You have the words of eternal life. And St. Peter says, I believe. I believe because you say so. And I'm going to guide my life by that. And I am listening and I am drinking this in. And I don't really understand. I think we could say Peter would, if inside his mind, he may say, I don't know how this is going to happen, but I've come, I do trust you enough and I listen to you. And if you say so, this is the way it's going to be. And this will, at that moment, that trust, and it is faith, but he's listening to our Lord's words and he's going to act accordingly. And we want to listen to our Lord's words and we want that so that we act accordingly in our lives. You have the words of eternal life. To whom should we go? That's the way we would like to live. Your words, Lord, would be a source of strength. And Peter obviously hung on our Lord's words. Peter obviously listened to our Lord and it changed his life. But he also, he lived his life accordingly. He personalized it. And that's what the Word of God is, living and active. And we want to make it for it to be living and active, since God never forces himself upon us, since we dive into the scriptures and we have to allow them to change us, we have to give it an opportunity. And it means at times, because we will be challenged, and it means we have to meditate and consider things. And maybe read a life of our Lord, or read explanations of the more difficult passages or sayings, or read the lives of the saints. Pope Francis, in his apostolic exhortation, Evangelii Gaudium, says that in order to preach the word, if we're going to be, again, witnesses, we must personalize it. Therefore, then he goes on to say, we who would be evangelizers, would be witnesses, we need to approach the word with a docile and prayerful heart so that it may deeply penetrate our thoughts and feelings and bring about an outlook, a new outlook in us. And that quote is actually from St. John Paul II in Pastores Dabo Vobis, I will give you shepherds, that Pope Francis uses in his Evangelii Gaudium. So it sort of has the authority of St. John Paul II and Pope Francis as well. That the word of God is necessary. And that we need to allow it to change our lives. It might help us to again realize that it is inspired and that the Holy Spirit uses it as an instrument. And it would maybe push us that when we are giving time to our Lord in prayer, and I imagine all of us at some point try to pray a little bit every day, that we would use the scriptures, or when we hear the word of God proclaimed at Mass, especially the gospel, which is when we even change our attitude at Mass, right? When we sit for the Old Testament reading and the Psalm, we stand for the gospel as a sign of respect. It's especially important. In the post-synodal apostolic exhortation, Verbum Domini, the word of God, by Benedict XVI, in there, it's all about the scripture, of course, and he has an interesting quotation from Saint Jerome, a father of the church who was known especially for his work in scripture and translation he made, and a deep, probably one of the scripture scholar. He makes an interesting comparison between the presence of God in the Word and the presence of God in the Eucharist that is quoted in this document. He says, we are reading the sacred scriptures. For me, the gospel is the body of Christ. For me, the holy scriptures are his teaching. And when he says, whoever does not eat my flesh and drink my blood, even though these words can be understood of the Eucharistic mystery, Christ's body and blood are really the word of scripture, God's teaching and God's teaching. When we approach the Eucharist, the Eucharistic mystery, if a crumb falls to the ground, we are troubled. Yet when we are listening to the word of God and God's word and Christ's flesh and blood are being poured into our ears, yet we pay no heed. What great peril we should not feel. Sorry, I perhaps didn't read it as well as I could have, but he's making a comparison, say, when we receive our Lord in the Eucharist, we are troubled that a crumb or a piece of the Eucharist would fall on the ground.
And he said, in the scripture, our Lord is present. It's not the church teaches, not the same sacramental presence as the Eucharist, of course. But Jerome, St. Jerome is saying, our Lord is present there. And if we're there listening at Mass, and it's going in one ear out the other, it's just dropping to the ground, we should feel great peril, he says. Because we're not paying attention to the words of life, because we're not paying attention to what can really help to change us. And so Pope Benedict, in this post-synodal apostolic exhortation, says, a deeper understanding of the sacramentality of God's word can thus lead us to a more unified understanding of the mystery of revelation, which takes place through the deeds and words intimately connected. An appreciation of this can only benefit the spiritual life of the faithful and the church's pastoral activity. This is again, it's going to change us. It's going to have its effect. And it will make it so that we become more like our Lord. St. Gregory the Great in Latin has a phrase, viva lectio est vita bonorum. The lives of the saints is a living scripture reading. We're transformed into words and gestures and deeds. That the scripture does transform us. And it gives us the opportunity to see the face of our Lord, to encounter him. It gives us an opportunity to hear his words, and we want to accept them for all that they are, we want to receive them for all that they are, which we know are the words of Jesus and the teaching of Jesus. And our prayer is that they would come alive in us and then give us life and give us his life. They would transform us into him, as when we receive the Eucharist in a very direct sacramental way, we are united with our Lord, but the words of scripture bring about that change in the heart and mind, which change our lives. If you wish to get closer to our Lord, St. Jose Maria writes, through the pages of the Gospels, I always recommend that you try to enter in the scene, taking part as just one more person there. In this way, and I know many perfectly ordinary people who live this way, you will be captivated like Mary was, who hung on every word that Jesus uttered, are like Martha, who will boldly make your worries known to him. You will boldly make your worries known to him, opening your heart sincerely about them all, no matter how little they may be. And again, St. Jose Maria recommending go to the gospel and see what's happening. Draw yourself into the scene. And listen as Mary did at his feet, or we go and we make our needs known to our Lord. But to allow the Holy Spirit to work so, again, we can be changed. And sometimes our Lord may use what we know in Scripture, our familiarity, to help us to grow, to help us to see things more clearly. That he will use, that the Holy Spirit will use the words of Scripture in times of prayer in order to give us a better idea of the identity of Jesus Christ, for sure. I mean, it's he himself. But considering what happened to the disciples going to Emmaus, again, that we go to a passage where our Lord reveals himself to those two who on Easter Sunday, the day of the resurrection, were leaving Jerusalem. And many of you probably know this scene very well. It comes up in the Gospels on a regular basis. Maybe you've meditated on it. Where Cleopas and his friend are leaving Jerusalem on the first Easter Sunday, and our Lord comes up to them as also a fellow traveler, but they don't recognize him. He doesn't want to be recognized. And he asks them, what is this conversation which you are holding with each other as you walk. And they stood still, looking sad. So they were sad. Of course they were. And there are many things that we can learn from this. The discouragement that enters our lives, the difficulties that we find, even in the midst of when Easter Sunday is happening. Sometimes we're not aware of that. But it's also how our Lord approaches them unawares, gets them to explain their situation and their difficulty and the plight that they're in and open their hearts. But it's whatever reason, Lord, you decided, you did not show yourself immediately, but you traveled with them, tried to enter into this conversation. And after they pour out their hearts, our Lord says, "O foolish men and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself." So he uses what was very familiar to them, what was part of their life, their religious training, their religious upbringing. He uses the scriptures all about what they say about him, the Old Testament, and he uses that in order to help them to discover who he is. Didn't the Christ have to suffer? Wasn't it necessary? But he builds upon those words. Our Lord himself, and of course he speaks as he's fulfilled the scriptures. All of this, I hope, in some way, will encourage us to open the gospel especially, the New Testament, with a greater awe, a greater sense of the treasure that we have in our hands. Because God has spoken everything in his word, the Son of God, and that word is revealed to us in the sacred scriptures. And where we have a direct moment of contact. Of course, there's the teaching of the church. There are the lives of the saints, which are all absolutely wonderful and very good. But with the sacred scriptures and the words of the Holy Spirit, we have this kind of direct line that allows us to hopefully get to know Christ more, to see who he is, to understand him with a greater depth, and allowing that knowledge through the scriptures to penetrate our hearts, to transform our intellect, to give us a new heart full of that, of the heart of our Lord Jesus Christ. So let us, the resolution from our prayer that I offer is that when we have those moments to listen to scripture, we try to do so attentively, realizing this is a privileged moment. And when we go to pray, these moments, that certainly to make it a staple, maybe not every time, but a staple, that is something we often go to, the New Testament, and to say there, what is our Lord saying to me? Lord, what is it you want me to change? How can I apply this passage or this teaching to my own life? And certainly the Holy Spirit will help us. That's the whole point. Certainly it is. This is a privileged way, tool that we have. So that again, more and more we begin to live the life of our Lord Jesus Christ. We ask Our Lady to help us to put into effect any resolutions we make in this time of prayer. I thank you, my God, for the good resolutions, affections, and inspirations you've communicated to me in this meditation. I ask your help to put them into effect. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me.